Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I hope you're having a terrific day today. As the weather changes and people are getting adjusted to the change from summer to fall, and we have some cold weather, we have some rainy weather, we might have some snow, things like that, I've been getting a lot of calls from frustrated caregivers, my caregiver nation. I even got a couple of calls from people that are diagnosed with different types of dementia this week. And it was sort of alarming to me, the amount of depression and sadness people were feeling. And my show is all about trying to overcome obstacles and adversity to find a positive outcome. I always want to keep it that way. But we do need to get, you know, really down and dirty sometimes about the fact that having Alzheimer's or having Parkinson's disease or Lewy body and having hallucinations and things like that are troublesome to families. And I'm just going to ask you to try to come up with a few ways that you can breathe, find that zen place, find that happy place when you're mired down in the middle of something that is starting to funnel into a rabbit hole you don't want to go into. We know these diseases can be difficult to work with. We know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I hope and pray that it's not an oncoming train, but we need to find the joy. We need to find the laughter. We need to find a way to find a happy place when we are in difficult situations. So let's talk about this to start with. Why do these aggressive or combative situation start in the first place? Well, part of it could just be the environment. Maybe just the change in weather is causing people to feel a little moody. Maybe there truly is a little sadness and depression around living with and dealing with a disease that is taking your memory or your cognitive abilities away. But look for things like lack of sleep. Look for issues like somebody's having pain in an arm or a leg or a little arthritis kicking up here or there. Maybe the barometric pressure is changing and they could have a headache or something like that. Did you put that person in unfamiliar surroundings and now they don't feel quite on their game? What could have happened to cause that frustration in the first place? Did maybe they get scared watching a TV show or being told to do something like go get dressed, we have to go to a doctor appointment, that they no longer remember how to do? You know, sometimes I tell people in my classes, no doesn't mean no. No means I've forgotten how to do what you've asked me to do. And sometimes that can create a level of frustration that can really set somebody off onto a bad trajectory or just a moody episode that their caregiver doesn't understand. You know, a lot of times these things will happen just because there's a loss of control due to the changes in the brain. It could be physical restraints. It could be changes in the routine. Maybe you're doing something different on this day that person feels like they should be doing something else. We've always had coffee at 9 a.m. Why are we running out the door at 9 a.m.? Look for these reasons that could be causing the frustration that you're feeling. What can you do to combat that? How can you stop that? Well, first of all, ways to prevent frustration are being realistic about your expectations of the person, what they can and cannot do. You know, a lot of times the changes show themselves in the lack of being able to complete an activity. Maybe somebody can engage in activity, but they can't complete the activity. And our expectation hasn't changed to fit what that person can actually do, therefore making it a little bit more stressful for them. So as an example, as a person gets further progressed in, let's say, Alzheimer's as an example, in the morning routine that they have, let's just pick a random number, 200. So if there are 200 steps in the morning routine that you have when you get up and you get out of bed, you hit the alarm, you throw the covers back, you put your feet on the floor, you walk around your bed, you get to the bathroom, you might open the shower door, turn on the shower, check your look in the mirror, what do I have to do right now? Go to the bathroom, jump in the shower, get dressed. Say if there were 200 steps in all of that, just as a random number. In the mild cognitive impairment stage, when the person that has the disease is the only one that knows about it, they're still walking, talking, driving, functioning in society, but they're having some issues, they've lost about 40 steps in that morning routine. Okay? And as that routine changes and they get to the point where they're at early stage, excuse me, then they're going to lose about another 60 steps. At early stage, they could still be working. They still could be driving a car. They still could be picking the kids up from school, going to baseball practice or football practice or whatever it is their kids have. They could be running a company. But they've lost about 100 steps in that morning routine. So think about that for a second. They're just starting to really have problems that family is starting to talk about, and half of the things they do in the morning are starting to have issues. So what would be missing? They might forget to take a shower. They might forget to wash their hair. They might forget to use soap. They may wear the same thing they had on yesterday. They may not put on deodorant on a day when it's going to be 90 degrees somewhere. They may forget to brush their teeth. But if you think about that, if half the steps in that 200-step morning routine were missing just in the early stage of the disease, would it change the way you as a caregiver were looking at it? I think it would. So let's have some compassion. Let's have some real thoughtfulness put around our loved one dealing with this disease. They're as frustrated as you are, but they're holding it inside and they're trying to hide it because they don't want to lose being that person that is proficient in everything they do. And if you look at them and think that they're deficient in those manners and in the way that they're working and living their life, then they've lost something and you're going to change the way you're looking at them. So if you take that all into context and you start working through that and knowing that with each stage, they're going to lose more and more of those steps in that morning routine down to where in late stage, there are about 15 steps. Maybe we can look at the disease a little bit more differently. Maybe we can offer help when they're forgetting to do something or, honey, do you need help buttoning that shirt? How can I make your day a little bit easier? Could I get the shower turned on for you and put it at a nice temperature? You look great today. Hey, I like that outfit you're wearing. Do some positive things that will help keep that person from slipping into that depression mode, from slipping into being frustrated, not telling you, and then you're dealing with the ramifications of the loss of cognition and the loss of them being themselves. I know this is a deep subject, but sometimes we have to talk about these things and figure out how we're going to work through them. When we come back from a break, the other question that I got asked a lot about today or this week is hallucinations and how do we deal with hallucinations? Well, I'm going to have some ideas for you. And I love these strategy shows. I love these strategy weeks because I can really dive deep into what is happening in the homes, what's happening in the families, and try to help you find a positive outcome and be a little bit stressed about it. Let's listen to a word from our sponsor and we'll be right back. Hey friends, I'm excited to tell you about Pine Grove Crossing Assisted Living and Memory Care in Parker, Colorado. They set the bar high for person-centered care. They're locally owned and they focus on exceeding their residents' expectations while providing excellent dining, housekeeping, and transportation services. Their care team with licensed nurses are available 16 hours per day, 7 days a week, to ensure clinical needs are addressed as soon as possible. check them out at pinegrovecrossing.com or 303-996-8000 and see how care goes into everything they do.
It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, we're back, and we're talking about frustrating situations that cause depression and cause anxiety when you're living with somebody that has a type of dementia that might have serious cognitive impairment or serious memory issues that could lead to frustrating situations and even situations of hallucinations, delusions, and things of that nature. So before I get into the hallucinations, I just want to talk about how to keep frustration from getting out of hand. So from the start, look for signs of frustration such as fidgeting, restlessness, people pacing, loud talking. Their audible tone is getting louder and louder, especially a person with Parkinson's disease who has a tendency to maybe have a lower audible tone, okay? And once you've identified those signs, try to prevent that situation from getting worse. Use a tell me more theory. Try to talk directly to that person and say, tell me what you're feeling. Why are you frustrated? Can you explain to me what's going on in your head? Are you feeling hopeless? Are you feeling sad? What might have changed that? Do you know? Yes or no questions help a lot with a person with Alzheimer's, because then they don't have to come up with a full cognitive thought to answer you or use coping techniques to answer the question. So always use that tell me more theory. Is the anger or the agitation getting physical? Is that something that you maybe need to intervene and see if you can sit by their side and hold their hand or do a hand massage, rub their back, give them a hug? What is leading you to have this frustration with that person? Are they having trouble putting clothes on and they just got frustrated and screamed out? Are they just doing something that is normal for their lifestyle? Like, for example, I had a guy a few months ago that his wife thought he was getting violent because he would smack his hands and say, fight, 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 and things like that. Well, it turned out he was a Marine and that was the way he expressed himself. And he just didn't know how to do it other than clapping his hands together and saying fight, fight, fight in sort of an aggressive manner, but he didn't mean he was going to fight his wife. So we have to really look at what is causing this and why are we in this zone, and at all cost avoid confrontation. Be calm. Use a calming, quieter voice. Tell me what's going on. Were you having trouble buttoning your shirt? Were you unable to put your socks on? Did you forget something important today? Why are you frustrated? Okay? So really, people, look at your surroundings. See what's going on. Try to figure out what happened before the person got frustrated, and then look at the way you acted or reacted to them. And in the future, try to work through that by changing what you're doing to ask that person more questions about the surrounding event. How did they feel? What were they trying to express? And if you do that, I think you'll be more successful. All is not lost. We're just working through all this. There really is an end to the frustration. Generally, if it gets to a point where you can't control it, say, all right, you sit here for just a second. Think about what you want to say. I'm going to go get you a glass of water. I'm going to go get you a cup of coffee. I'll be right back. One of the beauties of cognitive impairment and memory loss is if you wait 5 minutes, they might forget what they were upset about. Okay? You come back and start all over. So I hope that helps you. I always want to be here for folks. But I do want you to be responsible for your actions. Not everything is caused by the person with the disease. Not every issue is caused by their cognitive loss. A lot of times, families lose their emotional stability and cause some of the triggers that they're seeing and the reactions that they're getting. And I don't like to call them behaviors. I like to call them reactions. If you look at it that way, it might change things. All right. So why do people have hallucinations? Well, the scientific answer to that is that there is something called synuclein protein that gets on the brain that has a reaction, especially for people with Parkinson's and Lewy body disease and dementia, and it sits on the basal ganglia and causes, that's the center of the brain, and it causes them to have hallucinations. So are they always distressing? Maybe not. It might be distressing to you, but maybe not to the person that's having that hallucination. I'll give you an example. So maybe they're seeing somebody that has passed away. And they're sitting in a room and they're talking to their husband that they loved, or their wife that has passed away, or their mom or their dad. Sometimes we find people that have this disease that are talking to loved ones that are long gone. Why do they do that? It's a place of home. It's a place of comfort. It's a place in their minds and their hearts that tells them that life is okay. Just think for a minute. Your grandma's hug, your mom's hug, your dad saying, good job, I like what you did there, son, or whatever it is. They're still looking for those affirmations. They're still looking for somebody who accepts them the way they were and the way that they are. And most of the time, there's a phenomenon that happens in the brain where a person goes back in time from that adult learning to adolescent learning and back to childhood learning, and that's probably where they are when they're having those hallucinations. So you may be sitting there looking at a person that's 70 years old, but in their mind, they're 10. Okay? So it's reasonable for them to be looking for a family member or a loved one. You can't persuade them that that idea is wrong. What you can do is change your perception of the situation and understand that you may be seeing a 70-year-old person that you think is having moments of being 10 or 12 or 15 years old or even younger. But the truth of the matter is, folks, you may be seeing that 10 or 12 or 15-year-old all the time, and you're only seeing the glimpses of that person who is actually 72. If we change the way we work with people, we're going to have better luck understanding where they are in time and where they are in their mind and why they're having visual perceptions that are different than yours. And I think that that would get us a lot closer to being successful and less frustrating times. Some of the triggers that may cause those types of hallucinations and things like that might be dark rooms or uneven lighting or shadows that they see. They think they see somebody walking by. They may have some kind of a urinary tract infection or a fever. We know those things can also cause those types of things. Again, disruption in their familiar routines, unfamiliar people coming around, poor vision or poor hearing issues, too much noise or too much activity. They may be acting out something they saw on TV. If it's not disruptive, don't worry about it. Don't try to change it. Go with it. Use the tell me more theory. Truth of the matter is, this generally happens in the later stages anyway, and it's not really a surprise that this happens. It may be a surprise to you, and I'm sorry about that, but read some books. Go on my website. I offer a lot of resources on there, different books that you can look at. We're going to talk more about this when we come back.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. Education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Wow, deep subject today. And I know I always try to bring positive information to you, but I get it. You know, my mom had this disease. I have a brother with frontal temporal. I've had several people with this. I work with people day in and day out. I'm teaching classes at the University of Colorado Hospital. I work with their patients and their patients' families out there. I hear your stories. I feel your pain. But you can only mire yourself down in the heaviness of this for so long. Have your pity party, get back up, dust yourself off, and get back in the game. Because if you don't, those folks are going to feed off of your energy. And that's not what you want. Last thought about hallucinations and things like that. If you can, ignore the hallucinations and the delusions if they're not bothering the person with dementia. If they are enjoying the conversation, if they're talking to somebody who's not there, don't try to change it. Maybe just put on some nice comforting music or something like that in the background and let them go. It's okay. It doesn't always necessarily have to be a bad thing, okay? And for goodness sakes, don't try to change it unless that person is frightened by it. If they're frightened by it, intervene and use the tell me more theory, okay? All right, enough of that. We're going to move to positive things. So here we go. It is fall, folks, and I love fall. It is my favorite time of the year. So how can we turn some of the fall activities into fun things? Well, shoot, we can have fire pits. Go outside and roast some marshmallows. Make some s'mores. Go for walks with your people that have this diagnosis. Do it yourself if you just need a stress reliever. When you're with somebody that has memory loss, walk down memory lane with them. Let's pretend your street is memory lane. Pick up some pretty leaves, take them home, and iron them between sheets of wax paper. That was fun when we were little kids, right? Maybe pick up some pine cones, make a wreath, go to craft fairs. Walk outside, do things, go for a drive in the mountains, see the beautiful aspen trees, or wherever you are. If you're in the Midwest or on the East Coast, oh my goodness, you all get some beautiful, beautiful falls with the different changing leaves on the different types of trees. Play some fun music. Get ready for the holiday seasons. You know, pull out your summer and winter clothes and help have the person with memory loss help you. Take the clothes out of the closet that are summer clothes and out of armoires and things like that, that are shorts, short sleeve shirts, things like that, and pull out the sweatshirts, the long underwear, the socks, the jeans, the little jackets and the coats you might need to wear, and change those closets out so that the person with the diagnosis has a good chance of wearing the right and appropriate clothing for the weather because it's the only thing they can grab in their closet. Okay, there are ways and strategies we can reduce some of this frustration of having people wear the wrong clothes or the same clothes all the time if we have maybe a finite amount of clothes in the closet that they can reach and go to when they're getting ready to go outside. Also, acknowledge the changing weather. There's nothing wrong with going for a walk on a nice, cool fall day. Get the dog ready. Go out. Enjoy the weather. Look at the world around you. Look at the clouds and try to figure out what shapes they're making. Have a picnic in the park. Go watch a ball game. Go watch a football game. Things like that can be fun. Pull out the jerseys and the shirts of your favorite teams and bank some popcorn and, have a popcorn party and maybe even some beer. Just because they have Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease doesn't mean they can't have a drink. They're not dead. They just have a disease. Make some cookies. Bake some brownies or pies. This is the time of the year, the smells, the crackling of the fire. When they come in from, ice skating or being outside raking leaves and things like that, that's a time to say, hey, would a nice hot bath or a warm shower feel good right now? These are times and ways that you can come up with ideas to work with your loved one, your person that you're caring for, however you want to term it, and use the seasons, use the time of the year, use the smells, use the sensory opportunities that we have to really enjoy this time of year and the things that are going on. It's soon going to be October. We've got Halloween coming up. We've got Thanksgiving coming up. You can decorate the house. There's just a lot of things you can do. Pull out easels and paint pictures and have some apple cider and make some apples with caramel on them. Do some fun things. I mean, really, fall can be a great time of year. It can segue into memories that we have of good holidays gone by and talk about those. Pull out pictures from past Thanksgivings and past Christmases and put them in photo albums or make a collage. There's just so much you can do, folks. You know, I had to go back to the resilience part of it and say, come on now, let's take what we have. Let's try to find some good positive paths to go down. Let's find some great ways to have a positive outcome for what we're living with and the things that we're doing. Okay. It doesn't have to be all bad. We can have a lot of fun with it. So I really wish you all well. I'm sorry that there's a lot of you struggling out there, but really only struggle so long. Find those happy places for yourself. Find a chance to go to Starbucks and get a pumpkin spice frappuccino or something. Take a hot bath yourself. Go to lunch with a friend. Do some things. Go to the spa. Go to a hockey game or whatever with your friends. Do something fun for yourself, okay? Hey, we are Easy 1430 now. So if you're looking at Cruising 1430, Google and go on your website and go to Easy 1430, Timeless Music, and you will find the past recordings of my show. Get on there and listen to the different strategy shows that I presented over the last 2 years. Find one that works for you. Revisit these things, because I tell you, I have a lot of strategy shows. I have one a month. There's something on there that's going to help you. Go to my website, summitresiliencetraining.com. I have a lot of resources. I have those 26 bundles I loaded on there last October that answers every question you'd ever have about this disease. From scams to how do you look for a home care company to everything else. And those bundles are bits of information from the resources themselves that wrote the piece so you can understand it. It has their phone numbers, their websites that you can go on and ask them questions. Okay? And I'm also loading all my podcasts now on iTunes, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, and lots of other entities. So I love you all out there in Caregiver Nation. I love my friends with diagnosis. I'm here for you. Call me at 303-420-6988 if you have any questions. And once a month, I will have these strategy shows for you. So I hope you keep listening, keep calling, keep emailing, and let me know how you feel about the shows and what you want me to talk about. Although this was a deep subject today, I appreciate the listeners giving me ideas and telling me what you need from me. All right. I'll see you next week on Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. And keep listening, folks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.